Thank you.
May the Lord really have His way in Mindanao to accomplish His plan and purpose. We will really pray for you all. Right? So you're leaving tomorrow, right? Amen. What part of Mindanao are you from?
Clarin. Nearby town from Samis.
Ah, near Samis. Well, I think I just want to give you a word of encouragement. First of all, let us just read a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 16. Please read it in the New King James.
Redeeming the time.
Because the days are evil.
Amen. Redeeming the time. In New American Standard, it says, making the most of your time. Meaning to say, you have to take and grab every opportunity to redeem the time, because how do you use your time is very important. We have 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And if most of our time we are involved just in secular affairs and not gaining Christ, then that's not very wise. That's not very nice. I don't mean you shouldn't do anything anymore, but you should learn in whatever you are doing to do it for the Lord, to gain Christ. You will see that whatever you're doing, it'll be even more successful and more peaceful. You'll not be anxious. You'll have peace in your heart. Right? If you do things with peace in your heart, whatever you're doing would be even much better. Right? So, redeem the time. And then it says, because the days are evil. Meaning to say that if you're not gaining Christ, then you'll be doing a lot of other things that may not seem evil to you, but at the end, evil is gaining and winning. Right? Now let me read to you another verse in Colossians chapter 4, I think. In Colossians chapter 4, it is talking about the same thing in verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, toward those who are unbelievers. Making the most of the opportunity. Again, it says there what?
Redeeming the time.
Redeeming the time. So, how we deal with outsiders, you need to learn to redeem the time to share Christ with them.
Amen.
It is important. Not by the regular preaching the gospel. And then you'll say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not an evangelist. But to share your experience with Christ to them. You don't have to give them a message. Now, we are used to hearing message and giving a message. But to share the Christ that is a reality in your life, you share it with them. So this is very important because time is very near. You know, I dare not say that what is happening today, especially in the USA, the election, I dare not say that, that's going to be the end, right? But it might be the end. Right. There has never been an election like this time. And all the corruption and evil things all came out. And of course I cannot tell you all the things that were happening right now in the States in the election with the Democratic Party, with Obama, with Clinton, and all of these things. There's so much corruption hidden. And now it's all coming out. It's just like opening a can of worms, like, you know, the expression that we use. And if the whole world sees that, that will be, I would say, the end, the bankruptcy of democracy. Even your president here told the president, Obama, go to hell. Right? I don't know if you have heard his speech. I heard his speech. And he says something worse. But then he says, go to hell. But now, if democracy in this election exposed so much corruption, not just in Southeast Asia, you talk about corruption, but there the corruption is just as bad and in a terrible scale, you have to realize that we might be coming to the end of the age of democracy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this is a very important thing that you all have to realize. You remember the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? The golden head image. Symbolized the King Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom of Babylon. Then you have the silver shoulder and the arms there, right? Which signifies the Persian and the Median kingdom. Then you have the bronze breast here until the loins here, and that shows the Grecian kingdom. And then you have from the waist downward, which shows the Roman Empire, and it's long, two long legs, meaning to say the Roman Empire extended for a long time, east and west Roman Empire. You have two legs here. The Bible is very precise. Then at the end you come to the feet, mixture of iron and clay, because this long legs, the Roman Empire, is represented by iron. Iron is strong and hard. Then you have the clay, right? Mixed with iron, which shows, actually, the last form of government. Clay signifies the people. And iron is the strength, the power. So you have people's power. Actually, the term democracy comes from the Greek word demos and kratos, meaning to say people's power. You know people's power during the time of Aquino, right? Right? That is what ousted Marcos, right? By people's power. That is democracy, right? So, but now, at this time, it seems to be that the age of democracy is coming to an end. So much corruption. Democracy is good, but now what is good is coming to an end and becoming something terrible. Look at human rights today. Everybody has human rights. Whatever you do is your right. Even the gay people has rights, right? And then it went even to the extreme, right? And now Obama legalized the gay marriages, which is terrible. And this shows us that the age of democracy is coming to an end. So we all need to see something. And if the age of democracy is coming to an end, what is the last age? What is the end of the foot, the 2 feet? You have the 10 toes. And according to Revelation chapter 17, the 10 toes will be the last 10 nations. They didn't have any power as of now, but in the last 3.5 years, they will gain power, and they will give the power to the beast. So that is a special age at the very end, meaning to say that end time may be fast approaching. I'm not saying this to scare you. No, definitely not. But hey, it's there. You need to understand. You have no choice. We are living at this age. What are you going to do? Right. So we all need to wake up and gain the Lord. Practice the priest. And I believe this is what the Lord is pressing us concerning the matter of the priesthood. The true tabernacle, keeping of the feast, bringing the sacrifices, and then especially laboring on Christ. You need to labor, not to be lazy, but to labor on Christ. All these things is very crucial for us. Right, but it's up to you. You don't want to do it, that's funny. You know, but it's my duty to tell you is that you have to do it. Otherwise, what are you going to do? Right? Pass your time doing what? Grabbing every opportunity to live yourself? You redeem the time to gain Christ. You don't have much time left. Right? I'm not a prophet predicting the future. No. But it does seem that if Trump is elected as the President of the United States, he may very well be the one who will complete successfully the peace treaty in the Middle East. And if that happens, you only have the last 7 years. This is the last week in Daniel chapter 9. So that means we do not have. I always told people, time cannot keep on going on and on and on without end. That's not what the Bible tells us. So we all need to redeem the time. By the word, by our daily living, preparing the offerings, experiencing Christ, and all of these offerings will really bring us to perfection. To live a life that is for the Father's will. Right? This is the burnt offering. And to really experience the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ as the acacia wood. Overlaid with gold. Be saved to the uttermost. Put off the old man, put on the new. And to live Christ. This is actually the real meaning of, for me to live is Christ.
Amen.
Not a doctrine, it has to be a reality. But without experiencing and preparing and laboring diligently, grab hold of every opportunity to gain the humanity of the Lord, I don't think you can live Christ. To live Christ is not just to serve God and doing so many activities. No, you live Christ at home. You live Christ while you're doing business, carrying out your duties, learning to do it properly, to gain the Lord. Do it with the Lord. When you're alone, what are you thinking? How do you use your time? Etc. right? You don't have much time left. You redeem the time to gain the humanity of the Lord Jesus, going through different trials and sufferings, right? Being crucified with Christ, walking according to the Spirit. Without doing that, how are you going to build the church? Where are you going to get the materials? The gold, the silver, the bronze, the blue color, the blue thread, purple thread, scarlet thread, the fine linen. We are here in the church not accusing one another. That's not right. If I know what is right, I do it. But I will not force you to do it. And I will not condemn you if you don't do it. Hey, you remember Peter asked the Lord Jesus concerning John, Johann. Lord, what about John? What did the Lord answer? What is that to you? Don't be concerned about John. You follow me. Don't worry if Charlie follows you. Right? If Charlie's following Christ, I should worry about me following Christ. It is your responsibility before God if you want to follow him or not. Right? We can encourage one another, but we should not condemn one another in the church life. No. Right. And never compare yourselves to others. We are all different. And who am I to say, I cannot see what is in your heart.
Right?
And everybody, every member of the party is different. This is why we really need to learn to gain Christ. Look at the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. The Lord never rebuked them in such a way just because they can't make it. If the Lord is going to ask his disciples to live according to his standard, he won't have many disciples. Right? Philip, not this Philip, but that Philip, he is always unclear. Right? And Thomas, no faith. And Peter, always talk too much. And James and John, oh, the Lord told them, what kind of a spirit do you have? Wow, you just see something that is not so right, you know, people there prophesying and preaching and not with them. Lord, do you want me to ask fire to come down from heaven and consume them? No wonder they are called sons of thunder. Whatever happened, thunder came down from heaven. You're going to bring thunder and fire down from the sky.
Can you imagine the Lord have such disciples? What if you're the Lord Jesus? What are you going to do with them?
Fire them. Like Trump, he said, you're fired. Don't do that. No. If each one of us will just do whatever the Lord shows us to do, you do it. You do. Do not demand others to do whatever you are doing. And pray for one another. In the church tonight, our oneness is with the triune God. If we are one with him, then we can be one with one another. So, three things, and I will stop here. Three things that the Lord has really impressed upon us in the last couple of years. Number one is keeping the feast. This is the most important meeting, the Lord's table, but not in a traditional way. We need to see what this wonderful feast, the bread and the cup, signifies in all of its aspects. And you can only see the aspects if you get into the feasts, from the Passover to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the power of his resurrection, Christ as the first fruits, the firstborn from among the dead, because the church is brought up in resurrection, right? And then his ascension. You have to know everything about the ascension, not only objectively, but what does it have to do with you? You need to realize this, right? And then the Feast of the Trumpet and the Feast of the Atonement, the Day of Atonement. And then you have the last feast, which is actually the coming, the actual coming of the Lord. And in order to prepare, you need to learn to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. Learn to practice living in booths. Right? So, otherwise, how are you going to prepare for the Lord's coming? And then learn also to prepare the offerings. If you prepare it and write it down, I don't want to use you as an example, sorry. But this morning, you know, when I was sitting there, I did not turn my head. Right? But I don't have to turn my head. I know she has prepared. And it is an example. We all need to learn to prepare. Write it down briefly what you want to say. And have a solid verse in the Word back, so that you will know exactly how you want to present it to the Father. You need to learn to use the best way to present the offerings to the Father. It doesn't take too long a time to write it down. Right? How long did it take for you to write it down? Maybe half an hour, I don't know how long. And you're prepping, and then, right? You're fine.
But hey, you know, but look, you're presenting an offering to the Father, right? In the best way possible.
I would say, if you really prepared, you are putting it in a golden plate. Yeah, you're showing me a lot of golden plate, right? I was just walking in a showroom and I saw, what a plate. But, you know, when do you use such a plate? Not in your kitchen, right? But in the best occasion, in a 6 stars, a 7 stars hotel, I don't know if there are any 7 stars hotel, and, right, the best guests. Now, who is the best, if not our Father? And if we are going to present an offering to our Father, what are you going to do? Use a chipped plate that's already chipped here and there and all scratched up, and you just put your offering there. Here, Father. Are you going to do that to the Father? No. Then you present it to the Father. You know what I mean, right? If you invite Duterte to your home, you better go down and get the most expensive plate. Right? And maybe when Duterte sees it, he says, oh, how much? I'm going to buy that. Put it in a Malacañang palace. Why not? So, sorry that I'm using this as an example. Because we are offering such a wonderful offering to the Almighty God. He deserves the best. Don't you think, Frankie? Right? You agree with me?
I agree.
Yeah. Amen. Right? And then, the last point, but not the least, is the third part of our meeting. Lord's Day morning is just half an hour, maybe, you know, half an hour. In that half an hour, we should first of all concentrate on the ministry of the Word. but not giving a long message like what we used to in the past decades. No. First of all, you need to prepare again the preparation. Very important. Write it down there, what you want to say. What the Lord burdened you to speak. I really advise you.
Just like in a conference, I put made an outline. Right? So that I will just follow that outline. Otherwise, you know, I may not be able to regulate the time. We only have this many meetings. Right? So I have to regulate the time. So if you write it down, right, two or three brothers preparing. Just like what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, right? The prophet, let him speak two or three. Because the prophet speaks the burden of the Lord. But it doesn't mean that you prolong your speaking, not be economical. Be economical. In a few words, if you can express the burden of the Lord. 5 minutes, don't drag it to 15 minutes. Right?
It's also true.
Just
come right to the point. And if you have other burden, you don't have to say it right away. You still have the chance next week. Right? So you don't have to say everything all at once now. Sometimes it is better to pound one point and clear, full of life into the saints than to speak so many things the saints go home, they forgot what you talked about. Right? So learn to make it short and to the point. And then possibly let the saints have a couple of sharings who are touched with the word to confirm it. In this way, your meeting will be living and short. Right? I know in some places, the meeting went every Sunday. Oh, so long. So long. The message was 1.5 hours, and you know, the conference is different, but the church meeting, you speak 1.5 hours, everybody's stomach is already growling. You don't care about the reaction of the saint, you just care about your speaking. This is not wise. If you see a majority, 90%, and flipping the Bible, and going like this, moving, you better stop speaking. You have to observe where the saints are receiving. Otherwise, you play music to the cows, the Chinese says. Right? Because the cows don't appreciate your music anymore. You may play Mozart, but the cows don't understand Mozart. Right? So learn this. We all need to change and improve. And to, not just for the saints' sake, but for the Lord's. We all need to pray. You ask the brothers, I've told the young brothers in Germany many times the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? Everywhere I go, because this is what we really need. Okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. And see, I'm trying to make it short. That's it. Amen.
Thank you.